96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. Your questions or comments, toll free at 855-288-4876. Now, Insight.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. Repeal and replace Obamacare. It was the rallying cry for presidential candidate Donald Trump and Capitol Hill Republican lawmakers last year. Now, the American Health Care Act, or AHCA, is legislation in progress, with difficult progress from both sides of the aisle. What is it, and will it happen? Well, joining me to talk about this are Robin Armstrong, physician and Texas Republican National Convention committeeman, and Sherilyn Harley Lebon, contributing fellow for the National Community of Pharmacists Association, both of them supporters of the AHCA. Lines are open. Give us a call if you have any questions or comments about the AHCA. Some call it Trump Care. Some call it Ryan Care. Lines are open. Give us a call, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Follow me on Twitter at HFisher, WHUR, or at Daily Drum, WHUR. Okay. Thank you all so much for joining me, Sherilyn, and also Dr. Armstrong. Thanks for joining the program.
Thank you very much. Glad to be on.
Okay, Dr. Armstrong, let me start with you. What's wrong with Obamacare, and what would you say is the foundation of repeal and replace?
Well, I think what is wrong with Obamacare is that it doesn't seem to have delivered on the promises that were made. What happened was the insurance, so as a practicing physician, what I see today, and this is a very practical criticism. It's not something that's political in any way. What I see is a lot of patients who have Obamacare insurance who have such high deductibles where they have to pay $10,000, $6,000, $7,000 before their insurance even kicks in. And what I'm seeing is that they're not getting a very good care because folks don't have that out-of-pocket money to spend. And so that's the first thing. The second thing is they're paying really high premiums. Typically, catastrophic plans that have high deductibles usually have very low premiums, but they're paying very high premiums, which are monthly cost to them, and at the same and then they're also having these high deductibles, and what is worse about it is that they're forced to have it by law. They're mandated to have it, or they get a tax penalty at the end of the year. And so I think those are the main issues. It just is not providing the care. Medicaid expansion has not provided care either. Unfortunately, now a lot of physicians are not taking Medicaid, and so even the expanded Medicaid. Now I live in Texas where they did not do the expansion of Medicaid, but we still have a lot of Medicaid patients. Many physicians don't accept that any longer because the pay is so low, and so it's just there's a lot of problems with, and it's failed to cover the communities that it was supposed to help. It just hasn't helped them.
But sure.
On paper, they have coverage, but in practicality, they're still not getting the care that they need.
Well, Sherilyn, if what the doctor is saying is true, why did we have yet another some 12 million people sign up again this year? If it's just so god-awful, then what are these 12 million people signing up for?
First of all, thanks for having me. I just want to clarify for your listeners, I'm with the National Center for Policy Analysis, which is also in Texas with Dr. Armstrong. Just wanted to clarify that. So to get back to your question, I mean, part of the issue here is that they're signing up because they don't have any other option at the moment, right? And the whole purpose of repealing and replacing Obamacare, as Dr. Armstrong has already indicated, is that Obamacare was based on a one-size-fits-all approach. And as Dr. Armstrong has said, it did not result in people getting the coverage that they needed. You had increased premiums. You had people in their states that their insurers weren't offered on the exchange. So I think perhaps some of the people you're alluding to, the reason why they're signing up for Obamacare is because their previous insurers aren't offering insurance on the exchange. And as we know, that's also been a, you know, a big problem. And what you have overall, I think the main issue here is that Obamacare led to higher costs, fewer choices, and less access to the care people need.
But Sherilyn, let me ask you, though, before President Obama was elected, there was no care for...
I know where you're going, and that's right.
Let me finish my point here.
I'm sorry.
You know, because it would just seem to me, and, you know, President Obama said himself that this was not perfect legislation. There was a huge partisan fight on the Hill, the same kind of thing that we're seeing now. And even, you know, Republicans are calling the AHCA Obamacare light. You've heard that. And indeed, there are things about it that they do like. So is this repeal and replace, or is this just an attempt to make a difficult piece of legislation, a difficult law, better? Because what was said before was we're going to get rid of it and then do our own thing.
I think it is taking a complex law, because, I mean, again, this was reforming 1/6 of our economy. Was not going to be easy, certainly was not going to be without flaws. But I think they're taking what we have, right? Because some of the great things about Obamacare were the two things that, several things that they're keeping. One is you're not going to be denied coverage or charged because of pre-existing conditions. That's very important. And then you want to preserve vital patient protections, such as, you know, prohibiting the health insurers from denying coverage, right, based on pre-existing conditions, and then lifting the lifetime caps on medical care, and then also allowing those dependents to stay on their parents' plan until they're 26. So they're keeping that, and as we know, that was a big issue for people, right? Pre-existing conditions, major issue. So we're keeping that, but, you know, what they're doing is, number one, we're repealing some of those mandates and the taxes, right? Because it was based on a one-size-fits-all approach, we know that some of those mandates just weren't working for everybody. So what they want to do is, for example, dismantle, with this new improved plan, dismantle the taxes, you know, the tanning tax, the prescription drugs, the over-the-counter medications, the health insurance premiums, medical devices. I mean, I think a lot of people agreed that, you know, the taxes, the tanning tax, the medical devices, I think those ended up being kind of like throw-ins, which really we didn't need.
Well, let me go to the phone lines, because we've got some folks on the line, and I still have, you know, a lot of questions about this. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are talking about the American Health Care Act. Some call it Trump Care. This is the foundation of the repeal and replace of Obamacare. If you have a question or comment, give us a call. Let's go to George calling from Maryland. George, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hello?
Yes, sir. Go right ahead, George.
Yeah, thank you. I can barely hear you.
Go right ahead. We can hear you.
I'm glad I got a chance to speak on this issue, because I listened to Trump the other day talk about how, it's Obama's fault that this thing is not working for them. When he pooted around for 6 years with this birther thing, and then all of the senators and congressmen on the Republican side, they did nothing but they didn't even try to meet Obama 10% of the way to get something done. And now they're going to say, well, Obama's plan was, at least he had a plan. And you got that many million Americans signing up who never had health care before. And I think the problem is a lot of these Republicans are in bed with these insurance companies and these other pharmaceutical players. They're not trying to help anybody. It's all about money. I couldn't close without alluding to the Good Samaritan. That's what they did. And all these people say they're God-fearing Christians, but yet still they're not trying to get health care for Americans, which should be a privilege. All of us should have a health care. That shouldn't even be an issue.
Okay.
With all this money they had. Bernie Sanders did a town hall meeting the other night, and he's saying that's it's a moral disgrace.
Okay, George.
I mean, it's ridiculous.
George, thank you so much for your phone call. I appreciate it. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. I guess the thing that is of greater concern, and because, you know, one could argue, Dr. Armstrong and, you know, Ms. LeBond, that one of the reasons that you all are coming on is because this legislation is in trouble. You don't have the full support of the House. The Washington Post reported today some 60 Republicans have at least questions about it. Some of them are against it. You're having, you know, other members of the House saying this isn't even, you're going to need 218 votes. This couldn't even make it out of the House, much less the Senate. And even if it does make it to the Senate, it's likely that it wouldn't pass the Senate. So, you know, is this, you know, kind of a last gasp by the Trump administration and those that are supporting it, Dr. Armstrong, to get this done or to attempt to get it done? I mean, suffice it to say, also, I got to tell you, Dr. Armstrong, you know, this is an urban radio station. Our audience is particularly African American. This is the first time we've heard from the Trump administration on this.
Right. You know, I'll tell you, there's a lot of education that has to take place. I spoke with conservative congressman, Republican congressman here in Texas a few days ago, and he had not read the bill yet. And certainly there's a lot of conservative groups lining up against it. And so, but the argument I would tell them is that, you know, this is a tremendous reform. I mean, I think it's reform that's going to make our health care stronger far into the future. You know, I really believe that this is important legislation trying to save Medicaid. It's legislation that's trying to help give greater access to folks who don't have it now. It's difficult to explain it because it's very complicated and it's very complex, but there is a sell job that's taking place now. I mean, the president's going to go out. You know, we're going on radio stations. I think that this is going to be good for the African-American community. I think it's going to be good for every community, and that's why we're talking about it now. It's not a last-ditch effort, but it is an education effort because the legislation is so complex that it requires some education, and not just for, you know, the African-American community, but for the congressional community, for the conservative community, for rural communities. It's a lot of folks need to be educated on health care, and I believe that this is a good bill that will provide health care for folks. It's phase one. It's sort of act one of the bill. I think we have to pass later. We have to pass reforms with our insurance companies where they can compete across state lines. I believe that will lower the cost and lower the premiums of insurance. And then we have to have Med-Mal tort reform. I think that's an important component in this as well. But I think that this is a very important first step to repealing and replacing Obamacare, just as she was saying earlier, you know, getting rid of these taxes and getting rid of the individual mandate, getting rid of the employer mandate. I think those are very important first steps to improving our health care system.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about the Affordable Health Care Act. It is the legislation that is designed to repeal and replace Obamacare as we know it. Again, if you have any questions, if you have any comments tonight, give us a call. We definitely want to hear from you. Let me quickly go to Sam. Sam, be brief because I've got to take a break real quick and I need you to hold on. So quickly, what's on your mind, Sam?
Okay, so I'm not African American. I voted for President Obama in both terms, and I couldn't agree more with Dr. Armstrong. My premiums have gone up. I'm forced to take insurance when I wanted to pay out of my pocket because I don't qualify based on my income, and I get a 1095-C form to pay this. And I think it really, really put people in a bind because it doesn't really help everyone. And I really think that they need to come up with a plan to completely change it, because a lot of people actually voted for Trump just because they were so frustrated with the Obamacare. And the premiums have gone up, out-of-pocket expense, just like Dr. Armstrong said. I mean, that has been going on, or that has been increasing since even before President Obama, but especially now. But the most frustrating thing was for me that they were trying to force me to have insurance when I'm willing to not take the government you know, government assistance, and I'm trying to pay out of my pocket, and I get a 1095-C form saying, hey, you got to pay this fine.
Okay, Sam, I got to go. I've got a break. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. We're going to talk about that on the other side as well. Please stay with us. If you're on the phone at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810, we will take your calls as the Daily Drum continues on Sirius XM, Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. More of this conversation in just a few seconds. Stay with us.